Good evening. I'm going to introduce Sean McKinney and
Katerina Valkova.
Next Generation Directory-Based User Management for Cloud Infrastructure. I remember you that at the end of the talk, you have time to make questions and everything.
Thanks.
Okay, so thank you for coming and welcome to our talk about our research project called Next Generation Directory-Based User Management for Cloud Infrastructure. My name is Katerina Valikova and I work for a company called Evolvem located in Slovakia. My position is a Java developer and identity engineer. We are developing and delivering open source identity management system under the Apache 2.0 license.
And I'm Sean McKinney, and I'm a software architect with Simus, and I moonlight with the Apache directory and Open LDAP projects. So our session objective is to uncover a hidden navigation channel for users and machines through the cloud. So we're going to try to discover a way, a good way in which to secure Unix machines in the cloud, okay? So our agenda is to briefly look at the history, talk a little bit about building blocks. We're going to have a look at a proposed security model for how in which we can do this kind of thing. We're going to talk about a solution that we think is viable. We're going to have a look at some use cases that demonstrate this solution, along with a demo and questions at the end. And feel free to interrupt and ask questions along the way if something's not clear, because this talk is for you guys. All right, so the history. Knowing the path forward necessarily means we understand where we've been, okay? So we're gonna try to figure out the best way to secure machines in the cloud. There's no way in which we can do that unless we know where we've been. So where have we been? So this slide hopefully gives you an idea of just how rich and varied the history of the Unix operating system is. It started out in the late 60s with some research going on in Bell Labs in Berkeley, and they started out with the PDP-7 operating system, and then it spawned all of this. And so off to the right, you can see that we have sort of the commercial variants of Unix, like AIX and Z-Linux and Solaris. Off to the left, we've got the open source brethren that we know and love here at Apache. And so why am I telling you all this? I'm telling you this because there's no way that we're gonna sit here and invent a new way that's gonna work across all these paths, right? So we're not gonna go to a standards body and figure out a new way to do security and then reintroduce it across all these streams. It's just not gonna happen. So the only way that we're gonna have a way that works across all these operating systems is we have to go back in time. And in a similar way, the only way that we're gonna secure all of these cloud infrastructures, Unix machines running inside of these cloud infrastructures, is to go back in time. So we're not gonna standardize on any particular cloud infrastructure. We're not, because if we did that, that would necessarily exclude the others, and that's not what we're looking for. We wanna be able to have a way of doing it across all of them. All right, so what are we talking about here? That means we need building blocks. What kind of building blocks? We need building blocks that are going to allow us to do security on POSIX, and we need that security data to be stored inside of something like a directory so it can be centralized, right? Because we can't put security data down inside of all those machines, down inside of Etsy password files, because that wouldn't be much good, right? That would not be a best practice. We need something that's a best practice, right? And so that means that that data has to be centralized, and that, and then the security that we use has to apply across all those POSIX variants. But if that's all we were talking about, then we can just say, let's do best practices and we can go home, right? But that's not what we're talking about. So we think there's more, right? And that more is we need something called mediation. So this is a relatively new practice, and that's really the kind of at the heart of this talk. And so what are these building blocks that we're talking about? So anybody who's been in security, and even people that haven't been in security, know these building blocks, right? You gotta do authentication, you gotta do authorization, that data has to be stored in a directory. We all know that, right? And then off to the side, we got this thing called a mediator. Don't really quite know what we're gonna do with it yet or how it's gonna work. We just know we need one, right? So we're just going to leave it over there. All right. So now we're going to start putting names on these building blocks, right? Be less conceptual and start kind of turning it into something that's real world. So for authentication, we're talking about PAM, and more on that in a second. For authorization, we're talking about sudo or sudo, if you wish. For lookup, we're talking about name service switch, right? And then the directory is going to be LDAP, of course. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm going to say that. And then we still have that mediator over there, not quite sure about it yet, so we're just going to leave it over there in a black box. Okay, so what is PAM? Anybody who's been around in the computer world as long as a lot of us have been know what it is. It's for authentication. It's a best practice for most Unix variants. It's been around for a very long time. It's called Pluggable Authentication Module. And it does authentication, coarse grain authorization, but we can think about it as just an authentication service. What is sudo? It is for authorization. It's another sort of long-time standard for doing authorization on Unix machines. Anybody who's been around, anybody who's ever used a Unix machine knows what sudo is, probably have been subjected to it. And it's really just a way of permitting privileged actions on a limited basis. Okay, so we can say, hey, this type of user can do everything, and maybe this type of user can just do some things, and maybe a third kind of user can only do one thing, or any combination of that. And you can get as granular as you want. Name service switch is really just a utility. It's a way of doing lookup because that data is bound to a directory somewhere. We need a kind of a lookup service in order to get it. And so it's used by Unix processes to look up that user and group info that we need. But we can think about it as just a lookup service. Not much to it, not much going on here. Okay, LDAP, Lightweight Directory Access Protocol. That's my special samurai sword. I've been doing that for longer than I care to admit. It stands for Lightweight Directory Access Protocol. And it's governed by a series of RFCs by IETF that guarantees interoperability across different directories. So you can have an LDAP client, and that LDAP client can talk to any LDAP server, and you're pretty much assured that if you swap it out later, it's all going to work. So again, that's best practice. But we can think about it as just a system of record for users, passwords, and groups. Right? Nothing here too surprising. Okay, now it's going to start getting a little interesting. We're talking about the mediator. Okay, what is this mediator thing? So, okay, 20 years ago when these best practices came into effect, we had no need for a mediator. Why? Because back then, when we created a new machine, say I was going to install a new machine, a Unix machine, it might take me 4 or 5 hours to install it. What do I care if I got to add a few users to an Etsy password file or whatever? It's no big deal. That machine's going to be in live for weeks, months, years, if not decades, right? So we don't really need a mediator because things don't change. Today is a little bit different, right? We got virtualization. We got these machines popping up and disappearing all over the place. And so that's created a need. What is that need? Well, that machine popped up. Okay, that's great. The machine's popped up. Well, now I need to have somebody have access to it. So what's going to happen? Well, now another machine popped up. Well, that one went away. Okay, so how do you keep track of all that? And how do you do it in such a way that A, you don't impede productivity, so you don't want to get in the way of your people, but B, you don't violate best practices or violate the principle of least privilege. So you don't want to give everybody access to every machine. That would never fly. So you have to have a way in which to control all this, right? So that's what we're talking about with the mediator. So here's a simple use case of what the mediator can do for us, right? So we got a machine, it gets added to the network. And so the mediator, or the system that got added is going to call the mediator. He's going to say, hey, mediator, add me. He doesn't really know what's going on other than that. Then the mediator is going to be the brains, and it's going to look at its policy stored in the database. And based on that policy, it's going to push that policy into the directory as needed in order to achieve that principle of least privilege we're talking about. Okay, it's pretty simple. Okay, so that is the building blocks of what we're talking about. So those are the things that we're going to use to assemble our solution. But what are we trying to do here? What is the security model, right? What can you do? So nothing too surprising here. We're talking about authentication. We're talking about coarse grain authorization, which is to say you identify the user, and then can the user hit that machine or not, yes or no? So that's what PAM's going to do for us. And then we have, in addition to that, is what can the user do when they're on the machine, right? So we're going to try to limit their access according to what their need is. And so that's what we're going to do with sudo. Any questions about any of this? This should all seem very, very familiar. Okay, so in order to achieve this, we need to store data inside of groups. And the groups are going to be used by these building blocks to then do the access control. And so we've got three types of groups in LDAP that we're going to store. Now, I'm not talking about literal types. I'm not talking about object classes. I'm talking about conceptual types. I'm talking about a group's going to have a certain kind of a purpose. And so for the first kind of a group, we're talking about what we're calling a machine set. Okay, and a machine set is a collection of machines. Okay, pretty simple. Mediator is going to use that for computing policy. The second type of group is going to be what we're going to call a machine group. And a machine group is a collection of users. And then those are the users that can access that machine. Again, pretty straightforward. And the third type of group is what we're going to call a security role. And that's what sudo is going to use for the finer grained policies. Okay, still pretty straightforward there. So what is a machine set? Well, you can think of it like a security domain. Okay, that's all it really is. And so those machines are then, a machine's gonna be a member of one and only one machine set. And then that machine set then can correspond to, say, a geographical area, if that's useful. It can correspond to perhaps a work group, a project, whatever, right? It just depends on your situation. Machines, again, are just collections of users, and so a machine group is just a user, is going to have the users that have access to it, quite simply. And then a security role is, again, it's just going to be sort of a mapping between the user type and the domain or the machine set, and that's going to be used by sudo. All right, so that's great. We got these machine groups and these other kinds of groups. We got these building blocks, but we still got a mess, right? Because these machine sets could have hundreds, if not thousands, of machines inside of them. And so we really haven't done anything yet, because if we want to limit and be able to achieve this principle of least privilege, then we have to have a way of sort of combining these concepts in a way that makes sense to an administrator and in a way that we can then automate. And so what we're talking about here is that we have something like in this diagram where we have a user, say Curly, and he's an administrator only for the machines in machine set one. And then we got another user, Mo, who's an auditor for only the machines in machine set two. And then we have Larry off to the side, and he's wreaking havoc in the machines in machine set three. All right, so what are we talking about? Again, we got this sort of new kind of semantic where we have an administrator who's sitting at a console, and then they're able to pair those two things. So they can take a user, and they can pair it with what type in the machine set and hit submit, and then that should just know what to do and push down into the directory into all the different groups in the manner that we want. So that is the model, right? And so that's what we're trying to do. And so now we're going to talk a bit about the solution, which is a way in which to achieve this.
Yes, okay, Sean. After all of that you mentioned, what do you think is the best way? How can we manage?
I think we can do a chef or puppet or something, you know, because...
Are you sure you would prefer, hard, right? you want to say that you would prefer to use Chef or Puppet?
Yeah,
or something.
I mean, you're going to bring in some more infrastructure for identity management. That's hard, right?
Yes, but you know, we want to achieve the most powerful, the most flexible and dynamic management of users as possible. So in the cloud infrastructure, you want to have it so dynamic that if there is new machine added to the cloud, you want to create all the access and security groups for this machine. Yep. If there is some users belonging to this machine set, you want all these users from the machine set yep. to have access rights to this newly created machine right after the machine was set up. Do you think that you can achieve it with the Chef or Ansible or Puppet or some other configuration management tool?
Not sure.
I can tell you that maybe you can think about using also infrastructure as a code, that if you once write your scripts and blueprints, you can run them as many times as you want. But as you remember, we had this talk before, we spoke a little about our research project, and what we agreed was that we will do the both. We will go with the blueprints for the machines, like for running new machine, for setting it up, and we will use the existing identity management solution, which will provide provisioning of users, their access rights, and provisioning of security and access groups for the machines. And so, strictly speaking, my part on this solution was to provide this thing. So my part was to provide the identity management for our provisioning for users and machines. And as I was one who chose the solution, I chose Midpoint. And Midpoint is so responsible for provisioning of these access rights and the users.
And that's another product, right? So we got to bring something else in our infrastructure. Isn't that thing complicated? I mean, are you sure we need all this?
Yes, I can see your point. Yes, you are right. It's a national component, but let's wait. I will try okay. to explain, and right. I will try to persuade you
okay.
later.
Okay. Well, so all right. It sounds good. I'm still kind of skeptical. I'm on the fence, but it sounds okay. All right, so I'm a software architect, right? And software architects like to paint the world in pretty pictures, right? We draw our little pretty pictures, and inside those pretty pictures, everything's pretty. And so we got our pretty little cloud there, and we got our pretty little machines, and they're hooking up into LDAP, and they're in machine sets, and all that's beautiful. And then, and of course, I'm LDAP, so I'm going to use that. And then I've got this mediator. It's this black box. I mean, I could put Chef or Puppet there, can I? I'm not sure. But, yeah, so I need that mediator. And then I've got this HTTP connector over here that then needs to interact with the world. And then, yeah, I'm okay with a database. I mean, I understand that flat files aren't great. So, yeah, I'll let you have a database there. And so that's kind of the pretty picture. But, and then what happens to that pretty picture when we try to actually implement it via a solution? And so on the client side, again, we got these machines. And these machines are in the cloud. And you got hundreds, dozens, thousands of these things, right? And so what you want to be able to do is you want to be able to fire up a new machine, and you want that machine to just kind of add itself to the network. I don't want to have somebody do that. And so I want to have a blueprint that runs on that machine when it fires up, that configures itself into PAM, that configures itself into sudo, binds it to LDAP, does all the necessary stuff, and then calls a mediator, whatever that is, Chef or Puppet, I don't know, and maybe Midpoint, and it calls a mediator, and it says, add me, okay? And then that's kind of what I want on the client side. On the server side, okay, so, all right, I'll go ahead and put Midpoint there, because I like Java, so I'll say, yeah, okay, and it's going to run a servlet container, I'm cool with that. And so Midpoint's doing all this wonderful stuff, right? All this identity management stuff that's all fantastic, and I'm loving that. And then, okay, we got to have a database. Can I use PostgreSQL? Because that's the one I like.
Yes, okay. You can use any okay. other.
Okay, and then I need a directory. Does it work with OpenLDAP?
Yes,
would
sure.
it work with Apache directory? Would it
yes,
work
sure.
with OpenDJ, Active Directory?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's good. That's good. All right, and then so when I turn this into a solution, what does it start looking like, right? And so it's going to look kind of like this. And so, you know, I'm an Apache guy. I love Tomcat. So I'm going to run that in Tomcat. And so Midpoint's going to be a war. And then it's got that HTTP connector like I need so I can have happy little administrators doing their work. And then I've got these machines running in the cloud. And I'm okay with them using something like curl to call the mediator when they add to say add me. That's fine. And then we've got the PostgreSQL there for Midpoint. And it's got its data, you know, for its policy. Stored in the Midpoint schema format, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. And then we got OpenLDAP over here running, and it's going to have its data in the POSIX format that I need in order to achieve those security things that we're talking about. And then we've got our different kinds of users off over here that are going to then do their work. Okay, so that's kind of what we're talking about in a high-level solution. In the real world, in the detail, that's going to fan out a little bit different. Those databases are going to have to be split up into separate VMs for high availability, same way with the directory. And then those machines are going to be various types of Unix variants, like I said in the beginning, right? So I want to be able to have CentOS or Red Hat, Debian or Ubuntu, Mint. I want, you know, somebody's running SUSE, you know, that should be fine. And then legacy Unix is still around. AIX, Solaris, Z Linux, whatever. This should work for any of them. Okay, so are we still good?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so digging a little bit, this data has to be stored. And so with LDAP, again, it's going to be in the standard POSIX format, RFC 2307, and that's for the accounts and groups. And then, of course, LDAP's hierarchical. That's so pretty. I love LDAP. And then, so what's that mean with the schema? Well, the schema is RFC 2307. They're called auxiliary object classes, and that means that you can have your preferred user or group schema that your enterprise uses, and it shouldn't interfere with it. These auxiliary object classes will overlay, and then the attributes that are needed for the POSIX security controls will work. And so we don't have to say, you gotta use this kind of base class or whatever. You can use whatever kind of base class you want. So what are we looking at in terms of physical data? So again, it's very simple. For a machine set, which is just our domain, that's going to be a collection of machines, right? And then our machine group, which is Pam's going to use to let you in, that's a collection of users. And then our security role, which is used by sudo for the finer grain stuff, is again going to be a collection of users. Okay, so that's our design. I'm still not convinced here that I can't use Chef or Puppet, right? So, you know, what is it here that Chef or Puppet can't do, Katka? I'm not
so
really...
you want to say tell me that you always think that, or you still think that adding identity management solution to manage all these users is for you like adding additional component to your infrastructure? Yes, I can see your point that from the operations or DevOps perspective, it is an additional component that you have to take care of. You have to monitor it. It requires additional resources. You have to maintain it, do regular upgrades. I can understand, but you know, we have heard it today many times that you want to provide this management in the cloud in the most flexible and dynamic way as possible. So do you think that because you know it's nowadays it's not hard to start a new virtual machine, or it's not even hard to create new user on that machine or grant the access rights for these users, because how difficult it is to run
it's
some SSH command or to run some import of LD
even
file
to
open all that. Yeah, that's the point. And okay, so I will try to convince you that using Chef, Puppet, and Ansible is not enough in this case. So let's look on our use cases. We wanted to have like open LDAP, like storage for the users, and we also wanted to have some local storage where we have the records about our users, and we wanted to have these records synchronized from between both of these storages,
right.
And we wanted to be able to add new machine, and during the new machine is creating, we wanted to create the new security and access groups in LDAP, and also we wanted to automatically assign rights for the users belonging to the machine set to this newly created machine.
Right.
And for example, can you do this with Chef or Puppet?
Maybe.
And also maybe can you do something like scoping a role to a domain?
I haven't figured that one out yet.
You know, you want to assign permission for the user in some concrete domain. I don't think so. Or even if you can, it would be very difficult, I think. So, and maybe there is more. How can you provide security reports for your
manager? Well, I do
remember
the users asking about that one. Yeah.
Or did you ever heard about governance and compliance?
The auditor guy keeps talking about those.
Can you do it with Chef or Puppet? And more, what about temporal
assignments? Yeah, that contractor guy, when he leaves, Snowden, when he...
Permissions only for some period of time.
No longer have access. Okay.
Okay, yeah. So...
Okay.
Are you more now convinced? It's not so bad idea?
Sound a little better.
And what about the auditing?
I do need that.
I think it's very often the requirement. And... look into the future, but if you want to add new, because now it seems that we are managing only one open LDAP, and it doesn't matter if we use Chef or we have a dedicated software for it, but in the future you want to add additional resources like
our stakeholders have big
plans. Maybe applications, maybe monitoring, and I don't know what everything.
Yep.
And there is more. How do you know which permissions the user has after some period of time?
Yeah, principal least privilege,
Or can you do something like this? Which of these permissions are obsolete and should be denied?
Maybe not.
And who and why assigns this permission to a user? How can you achieve these requirements with the Chef or Puppet?
Okay.
Can you tell me?
No.
And as I said, we can add the additional target system in the future. We want to handle changes also made directly on Opal. We want to synchronize these changes, and we have to know that such user was created.
People add users; they don't go through the console.
No, there are some network crashes and these things. How can you solve the network crashes, for example?
That does sometimes happen.
I can imagine that you can do it with it, but you know, it's like reinventing the wheel. When there is the software which can do this,
Midpoint can do all this.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
And it's doing out of the box, so I think it's easier, even if it's additional component to the infrastructure. Here you can see that, as we told, the mediator is a midpoint. You can see that it can connect to any system.
Active Directory.
Yes, Active Directory, Google applications.
Etsy password files,
yes.
OpenStack.
Yes,
Google
of
apps.
Course, OpenStack, Google Apps, whatever. Okay. Whatever has some API, you can connect to it and provision. So let's talk about
the use cases.
What we wanted to do was to prove that we are able to manage a large cluster of machines for a technology company which has 100 employees and more than 100,000 customers. This company is using many different systems, different Linux machines, but for our proof of concept and research project, we decided to go only with Debian and Red Hat systems, and we decided to deploy it to the cloud provided by well-known provider. And what was the crucial point for us was to maintain and provision and manage access rights, so to be strictly
Because it could be a government organization or a bank or something like that, and we need to have a way of verifying that compliance, like you're talking about.
Security is a must. So in the demo we want to present now, we will show you our use cases on three different users and three different machine sets. You can see that each user has a different access role. So Curly is an admin, and he's admin in the scope of the machine set 1. Mo, he's an auditor, and he's auditor for the machine set 2. And Larry is just a user for machines in machine set 3.
So we got to keep an eye on those guys.
Okay, so.
All right, so let's see if this even works. So you talk a good story, Kekka. So let's see if this works. So let's try to create a new machine. Let's see if we can even do this. So, all right. So I've got here the console for our cloud provider, and this is CenturyLink, and so we've got a bunch of machines running in there. And so we've got here this new machine, and it's right there, M100502. That machine is created. It has Debian 7 64-bit, but it's not added into our network yet. So, you know, we're not really doing anything yet. So how do we know it's not added to our network yet? Is because I can search for the group in LDAP and see if it's there. And I run that search, and it's not there. Okay, so nothing up my sleeve. That nobody can log on to that machine. And so I could try to log on to that machine.
Can you also check Curly if he can access? He can access?
We can check Curly. So let's do a search on Curly and see what kind of groups he has access to. And you can see here, it's kind of hard to read, but you can see that Curly is an M1 admin. So he's an administrator in machine set 1. He can get to M1001, M1002, M1003, but there is this M1004, but no M1005. So if I tried to log in as Curly, I wouldn't be able to do it. So let's just go ahead and run this script and see what happens. And so CenturyLink has a construct that's called a blueprint. And a blueprint's just a way of applying a processy to a machine that's running the cloud. So I'm gonna instantiate this blueprint and run it. And so what we're talking about is it's gonna run on this server that I'm talking about, this M100502, and it has to know the mothership where the mediator is, and it has to know what machine set it wants to be added into, and we're saying machine set one. So I'm going to go ahead and deploy that blueprint now, and this is going to go into the CenturyLink batch flow, so it's going to take a few minutes to go in there. So while that's happening,
I will try to continue with my presentation.
Right.
I will show you that using midpoint is brings another advantages, like for example here you can see all your machines that you have in your cloud.
Can you guys see that back there? Yeah. Okay.
Do you think you can see something like that with using Chef or
Puppet? I don't have a screen for that yet.
No. So here, for example, you can see all the machines you have in machine set. You can see all the members, so the users who can access the machine in the machine set. The same for the different machine set. And here you can also see administrators for the machine set.
Oh, wait, so, you've got like local administrators for those machine sets, like delegated administration?
Yes, delegated administration.
Ooh, yeah,
that's,
yes. I do remember my
they
boss
are responsible
asking about
for
one too.
Assigning yeah. another rights and all these things
cool.
for their machine set.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that you can do this with Chef or Puppet.
Maybe not out of the box.
Okay, so. And you can also, you can also filter for the services. And
so those are the machines?
Yeah, these are your machines. These are only old. We don't see the new one, which you are just running the blueprint for. And here you can, for example, use. You can even
So those are the users of machine set one,
yes,
right there.
Yes, all these users.
Oh yeah, there's Curly.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think he's an administrator.
Oh. Not sure that's good.
So let's look if the new machine was created. Oh yes, we can see now that the new machine was created.
So let's see if.
Yes, and if we look at the details for this machine, we can see that there is a group created in OpenLDAP, and after looking into the details, we can also see all the members, so all the users who can access.
Is Curly in there?
Yes, Curly, we can see.
Okay, so
Curly.
All the users from machine set one were automatically added to that.
Yes, so I can think
group.
You can now try to log in as a Curly to this new machine.
All right, so I'll try to log in as Curly.
All right.
So let's make sure we got the IP address right, M1005. So this is the IP right there. So I can go here, and I'm just going to SSH in as Curly into that IP. Okay, so I'm in. If I do an ID to see, there I am, Curly. I can see that, there's all the machine set groups that I'm a member of. There's M1 admin, that's cool. So let's see what sudo thinks I can do. And there he is, he's root on that machine. Well, that worked, I guess. So,
So
Curly, so the machine automatically got added into the. Into that group, and so I'd say we can say that's successful. So let's try with Curly and see, or not Curly. Let's try with Mo, right? And so, by the way, Curly's happy now, right? He can get in. Okay.
Yes.
So then Mo, Mo doesn't look happy. So he wants to be an otter, right? So or is or wants to be? I'm not sure.
He should be.
Okay. So we'll pick a machine in machine set two. So here's one, right? I think that's one. Yeah, demo machine set two. All right. So I'm going to grab that, and then I'm going to sign in as Mo into there. And so that should work too, right? So here we go. Well, crap, I didn't get in. What's the problem? So Mo can't get in. So let's see what groups Mo is a member of. Oh, he's not a member of any group, so...
He probably forgot to request...
Can he log on and like add himself, or how does that work?
We can look here if the mall has the correct rights, exit rights. Oh, we can see that he doesn't have any assignment. He doesn't have any account.
So he needs to have the auditor role assigned.
So I will show you additional thing, but I'm pretty sure that you can do with the chef or puppet.
Okay.
And it's self-service.
Self-service?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
So now I'm logged in as Mo.
You can wow, he's scoped. He doesn't have
very,
he can only...
Yes, this is only what he can. He can
doesn't have all the...
his profile, but he has no permissions to do anything. But he can reset his password and he can request a role. So let's try.
So we have an approval process.
He should be an auditor.
Okay.
So let's request a role for auditor. And he's auditor, I think, for machine set 2.
Correct.
Okay. So now he's requesting a role to be an auditor on machine set 2. And if we look into his profile, we see that there is no additional assignment. And
he's waiting.
Yes.
And he's not happy.
No.
Yeah.
So now when I will log in as an administrator for this machine set 2.
Oh, I'm administrator for machine set 2. So that's a delegated administrator.
Yes, delegated administrator.
So this administrator is only scoped to machine.
Yes. You can see that I can see only my machine set and the machines and users belonging to my machine set.
Okay.
And I don't see, do you see Mo? I don't see him.
No, I don't see him.
Because he's not.
He's not administrator.
No, he's not in my machine set yet.
Oh, he's not in there, yeah.
So now, look, I have some work items.
So you got a work queue.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
there it is.
Here you can see that there is some request that is waiting for approving or rejecting. What do you think? Should we approve or reject?
Yeah, what the heck.
Go ahead. So approve him. And then we look back. Ah, Mo is here.
So he should be happy now then.
Yes, he has an account.
Okay.
And let's wait.
So we got. So let's see if he can log on then.
Yeah, there are the machines he got access to.
Okay. So all right.
Let's try.
All right. So same machine, same user. Logging in. I'm in. That's good. And he is. Let's see if he's in the group. Okay, yeah, he got added. There he is. He's in those.
He's not in group. He can't even log into the machine, I think.
Right, so he got added to all the groups, and you can see that, and then is he an M2 auditor? Yep, there he is. Okay, so we got Mo. He's working, so we're happy there. So that's, we'll go ahead and call that a success. So, all right, so yeah, we've got all this taken care of. So now let's go into Larry, right? So Larry's a user. He's a user in machine set 3, so this is our third use case. So let's go back to our CenturyLink console, and let's grab a machine in machine set 3. And so we'll do this M340001, and that is a machine number 3 in machine set 3. And let's grab that IP address, and we'll log in as Larry.
Did I hear Larry?
Yeah, Larry. He's logged on. He's an M3 user.
He was fired.
What?
Yes, he was fired.
Larry was?
Fired.
Who the heck would fire Larry? I mean, he's a good guy.
He's not.
Look, he's a root.
He did bad things.
Oh, crap, because we got like 1,000 machines in machine set 3. And
so
he's out there. What are we
going to... Let's fix this.
So, hurry up, because you got to get him out of 1,000 machines, right? So
yes.
Who knows what he's doing? This could be terrible. My boss would be so mad at me. He could be doing who knows what right now, disgruntled employee. So what are you going to do?
I'm going to remove all his access rights.
It's just like that?
Yes, just like that.
Okay.
By the way, can you do it a bit, Chef Papa?
So wait a minute. So is he fired?
Yes.
So he can't get access to those machines anymore?
Yes.
Well, let's see. Dang, he is fired. Okay, well, that was kind of handy, because I don't know how I could do that with Chef or Puppet. So, sorry, Larry. I guess you're going to be history. So, we're going to have to give that one a success, too. So let's move on to four. So, four is going to be the opposite of one. We added the machine in use case one. Now we're going to remove the machine. So we want, for whatever reason, the machine that we added the first time, we don't want to have access to it anymore. So so we want to be able to do that through something like midpoint, so that I should be able to do that quite easily, hopefully. And so I can go and look at, and that machine was in machine set one, right?
Yes.
And so, and then was it this one right here?
Yes.
This M100502. So I can just what? Click on that and say what?
Delete member.
All right, so I'm going to delete that guy. And then is it that easy? So can I go back in and log in as Curly into that same machine, and then he can't get in there anymore? Is that what we're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Oh, I guess you're right. That machine is no longer active. Okay. So, all right, so we're going to have to give a success on use case four as well. So, all right. This midpoint thing's starting to make a little more sense to me. So,
Yes, and you know, there is more use cases in the future, like approvals. We see some taste of it, and temporal-based assignments, auditory,
temporal-based, so that mean like you could have somebody and just assign them for like 2 weeks, and
yes.
Then it just automatically
yes,
go away?
Yes, and after these 2 weeks, yes.
Okay.
Without any interaction.
Like a contractor or something?
Yes, sure.
Just automatically goes, that's good for government stuff, I think.
And also you have...
Like Snowden, NSA?
No, so, you know, you
have... done that with him?
You have Auditrail.
Auditrail's
so
good.
You
just
have every,
to know who did
every
what.
Operation, every single operation mm-hmm. is audited. So you can search for whatever you want.
Everything we just did?
By the way, you know, such a simple use case, reset password. Can
reset.
You do this with Chef or Papa?
Not yet, no.
Okay, so I hope I convince you, but I think it's really good to say that I don't want, and Sean and we don't want to make midpoint as a panacea, but we want to say that maybe sometimes it's good to use dedicated software and use the software which is here out of the box than doing something on your own. And we don't want to replace Chef or Puppet. We want to integrate everything what exists because, as I mentioned at the beginning, we are using blueprints, we are using a cloud provider, and we are just integrating. And we think that using such dedicated software, maybe if it's additional system or additional software to our to your infrastructure, it's maybe sometimes better. So
yeah, this is great. So what, I mean, these guys out here are like, well, what are we, chopped liver? You know, what are you going to do for us, right? So we got this, midpoint's open source, right? It's 2.0,
yes.
But, you know, you got this stuff going on with these best practices and all that, and how does that work, and how can I use it? So, you know, we are just now wrapping up this research project. So we haven't had time to publish it and publicize the scripts and the documentation yet, but that's going to be the next step. So. You're going to have our contact information. If you want to get a hold of us, stay tuned. And if you're interested in trying something like this yourself, by all means, contact us. Oh, and back, please.
Yeah.
And then I guess there really is no security without identity management, right? So you need the right tool for the right job here. Okay. And that's it. I think we got about a minute. or actually, no, we got 5 minutes, right? We're at 45 minutes right now, so. Number one, does anybody want a Frisbee? I know you got, Stefan, I know you want one. All right, you got to watch out. I told you. Anybody else? Colm, how many of these you got, like four? You can tell what I did in college. All right, so any questions? This makes sense. That guy in the back.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if you can manage midpoint with midpoint. I mean, accessing midpoint, modifying users, and modifying machines requires some application authorization. Is it managed by midpoint itself? Or?
So the question is, can midpoint manage midpoint?
Yes, it's we heard the requirement before, but unfortunately now it's not. It is possible because you know you can use OpenICF or ConID framework for these connectors, and there is API which you have to implement. And for example, Midpoint has so REST API, so you can write connector, but we plan to do it like native, to be able to speak Midpoint between Midpoint.
Any other questions? Are you got question?
On the actual service, I mean, is there an agent or is it just a kind of configuration, et cetera?
Or on the server side?
On the client side.
Yeah, so no, it's just straight PAM, sudo, and name service switch. So there's nothing proprietary here. This is just plain vanilla Unix. And then it's, you know, binding it to LDAP so that we have that sort of centralized. So there's no vendor software or anything. So, and that was kind of at the beginning what we were talking about with the history was we wanted to have a way in which to do this that we didn't have to put an agent on there. That it would just work with any Unix variant. So that was our goal from the beginning, was to follow best practices and have a way of at least applying basic security, you know, that you can then have some sort of control over things and try to improve it. It's not perfect, it's not a panacea, but it's better than what I think a lot of people are doing today. Any other questions? In the back. What about Microsoft integration? So we're talking about Active Directory. I'm sorry?
Client side. Manager.
Yeah, so client, you want to, like, client side machines. Unfortunately, there is no corresponding thing like that per se. Now, you could certainly manage Active Directory with Midpoint, right? So you could push.
You could,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. I wish. Maybe one of these days, if Microsoft comes to the real world, then we can you know with the rest of us. So there's another question.
Can we do also with the public SSH keys?
Yes. Yeah, so the question is, can this be done with public SSH keys? Good question. The answer is yes, it can. Certainly. You can certainly centralize SSH keys inside of a directory and use these same mechanisms. We didn't do it for this research project because, it's this proof of concept, right? But yes, it's certainly within Target that you could do it with. Yes, Midpoint can help you with that. Yeah, it can all
you
be
can helped. Also have... a Unix connector, you will have users directly in this Linux machine, and you can also provision the SSH keys. So you can use both LDAP, or you can also use direct Unix
also
access.
You can deal also with the machine-to-machine dedication?
Machine-to-machine?
One machine to log into another machine.
Like tunneling. Tunneling.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So. I don't see why not. Well, if the machines are all pointing to the same, you know, those machines would all have to be in the network, right? So So maybe not, right? So if you're talking about tunneling into another cloud or something, then, you know, because your target has to be able to, you know, where you're going to has to be able, and then both sides have to be plugged into this, right? But that's a good question. I need to think about that some. That's an interesting use case. I'm sorry?
And then the last one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, about security issues, if you compromise the whole setup, for example, you check, is there any problem with them? You know, because if you have all the centralized way of dealing with ADAPs in all these scenes, if someone compromise, for example, Bitpoint or stuff.
So if the server's compromised,
Server's compromised.
So the question is, if the server's compromised, do we have a way of sort of what media?
Not understand it, or you know, what mechanism, you know, or if you have any issues, you have take care about this in your mind.
I really haven't thought about that one, to be honest with you, but I think that's certainly a valid use case. And I don't, have you thought about that one? If the server's compromised, how could Midpoint mitigate a server being compromised? Does it have some aspect that it can sort of self-heal? Or I suppose the audit would help you, and then there is notifications, right?
If someone compromise the main server, is it possible to bypass the setup and take back the control or...
You can't compromise the clients by the server. So if the server's compromised, the clients are still going to be pointing to the server, right? So no, there's no way to say from the server to turn all the clients off or to have them, you know, like you couldn't turn the server off, for example, and maybe like kill it or whatever and then somehow be able to get into the machines, right? Because the machines would not be able to log in because they're going to, you know, because they're going to that directory, and if that thing's not answering, then it's going to be like what we did there, where it's not going to let you in. You'll be locked out of the machine, basically. So it would be a denial of service, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they wouldn't be able to gain access to the machine.
A quick question, President, what you said. Allocation are done on each machine based on the LF information, right? I mean, if you are going to connect a machine, the machine itself will check on the LF server if the user can connect.
Yes, authentication is made against the LDAP.
Okay, so what if the LDAP server is not available? What if the computer is out of network?
So you could have a local route, right?
Yes.
So, but so the question is, what happens if the server goes down? Do you have another avenue of getting in? Is that the question? So, and the answer would be that.
I mentioned this Unix connector because, yes, we dealt with it before, that there are some situations that you have bad connection and you can't use all the authentication for the Unix system, so we provision the users directly to this Linux machine.
Yeah, you can certainly provision directly to, Midpoint can provision Etsy password, but PAM and sudo and name service switch are going to be pointing to LDAP. So if somehow that server went down, then like we said, it's a denial of service. None of those users are going to be logging in. But you could, you know, reconcile that by the local route, right? Logging in, you know, you could still get access to that machine locally just as you did before, right? But does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. So thanks a lot, everybody. Appreciate your time. And I hope you got something out of it. I know we enjoyed it. And enjoy the rest of your conference.